Welcome to this audio edition of Philip Huscher's program notes for upcoming concerts by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. I'm Rich Caparella. Concerts by the CSO on Thursday, June 19th through Tuesday, the 24th, welcome back Riccardo Muti to conduct a program with but one work, the Verdi Requiem Mass. Joining the orchestra will be the Chicago Symphony Chorus and a quartet of vocal soloists. Elena Goseva, soprano, Mariana Krebasa, mezzo-soprano, tenor John Osborne, and bass baritone Maharam Huseynov. Here are Philip Huscher's program notes on the Verdi Requiem Mass. The work lasts about 88 minutes. At these performances, Riccardo Muti uses the new critical edition of the Requiem Mass from The Works of Giuseppe Verdi, edited by David Rosen and published jointly by the University of Chicago Press and Casa Ricordi, Philip Gossett, general editor. Here are Philip Huscher's program notes on the Verdi Requiem Mass, a work lasting about 88 minutes. Verdi was a man of great spirituality, but after his childhood, when he walked 3 miles to church every Sunday morning, sometimes barefoot, to his job as organist, he wasn't a churchgoer. Later, when he was famous and wealthy, he would drive his wife Giuseppina to church, but wouldn't go in with her. He was never an atheist, simply, as Giuseppina put it, a very doubtful believer. Like Brahms, a German requiem, completed 5 years earlier, Verdi's Requiem Mass is a deeply religious work written by a great skeptic. When Hans von Bülow, whose acrid opinions on music have outlived his importance as a conductor, stole a look at the Requiem score just days before the Milan premiere, he offered his famous snap judgment: Verdi's latest opera, though in ecclesiastical robes, and decided to skip the concert. When he finally heard it at a mediocre parish performance 18 years later, he was moved to tears. Bülow wrote to Verdi to apologize, and Verdi replied with typical generosity that Bülow might have been right the first time. By then, after a 50-year career in the public eye, Verdi had grown accustomed to critical disdain, especially from the followers of Richard Wagner, and he knew that Bülow, who once switched his allegiance from Wagner to Brahms, wasn't the last listener who would change his mind about this music as well. Verdi's Requiem Mass has often provoked dissension. Brahms and Wagner, who shared little aside from their dislike for each other's music, took predictably opposing views. "Only a genius could have written such a work," Brahms wrote, angered by Bülow's original verdict. Wagner attended a performance in Vienna in 1875 without comment. "It would be best to say nothing," his wife Cosima explained with customary tact. The prevailing Viennese response was enthusiastic, "into the torrid zone," according to Verdi's wife Giuseppina, but performances had been sparsely attended 6 months earlier in London, and Verdi skipped town in a foul mood. The Italian public, who revered Verdi as people today idolize movie stars and sports figures, couldn't get enough of his newest work. Verdi's publisher finally had to crack down on unauthorized arrangements. Early in the 20th century, Bernard Shaw, who had always admired Verdi's music, suggested that none of Verdi's operas would prove as enduring as the Requiem. Before the Requiem, Verdi was known exclusively for his operas. The early success of Nabucco in 1842 made his name. The melody of its grand Va Pensiero chorus swept the nation. In the early 1850s, a great mid-career trio of operas, Rigoletto, Il Trovatore, and La Traviata, made Verdi the most popular composer in all Europe. After that, with a series of increasingly inventive stage works, including Simon Boccanegra, A Masked Ball, La Forza del Destino, the revised Macbeth, Don Carlos, and Aida, Verdi continued to stretch his talents in new directions, testing the expressive possibilities of Italian opera. After the great success of Aida in 1871, Verdi seemed set on retirement. He spent his days growing wheat and corn, raising chickens, and puttering in the garden at St. Agata, his farmhouse south of Milan. By then, however, part of a Requiem Mass was already written. The story begins in 1868 with the death of Rossini in Paris. Verdi suggested that the city of Bologna, where Rossini grew up and first tasted success, honor him with a composite requiem, commissioning separate movements from Italy's leading composers. The idea was approved, the various movements assigned. Diplomatically, Verdi was given the final Liberame, and the Mass completed. But a performance never took place. There were disputes, as there often are, over scheduling and money. At the time of Rossini's death, Verdi called him one of the glories of Italy, asking, "When the other one who still lives is no more, what will we have left?" The other was Alessandro Manzoni, a celebrated poet and the author of the landmark 19th century novel I Promessi Sposi, The Betrothed. When he died on May 22, 1873, Verdi returned to the idea of a requiem. Verdi first read I Promessi Sposi at 16. It remained his favorite novel throughout his life. Manzoni was a great national hero in Italy, a distinction poets in our time can scarcely imagine. To Verdi, Manzoni was a personal hero. He was both a great artist and a great humanitarian, a leader like Verdi in the Risorgimento, the movement for Italian independence and unification. Knowing that Manzoni treasured his privacy as much as he himself, Verdi never attempted a meeting. Even after his wife was introduced to Manzoni through a mutual friend, Verdi was satisfied with the autographed photograph she brought home, inscribed "To Giuseppe Verdi, a Glory of Italy," from a decrepit Lombard writer. Verdi hung the picture in his bedroom and sent Manzoni his photo, writing across the bottom, "I esteem and admire you as much as one can esteem and admire anyone on this earth, both as man and a true honor of our country so continually troubled. You are a saint, Don Alessandro." The two men didn't meet until the spring of 1868, when Verdi visited Milan for the first time in 20 years. Verdi reported to the Countess Maffei, who arranged the meeting, "I would have knelt before him if it were possible to adore mortal men." Verdi didn't attend Manzoni's funeral, preferring instead to visit the grave alone and unseen. He proposed that after further reflection and after taking stock of my strength, he might suggest a way of honoring his memory. In fact, the very night of his visit to Manzoni's grave, he wrote to Giulio Ricordi, head of the publishing house, of his intention to compose a Requiem Mass to be performed on the first anniversary of Manzoni's death. He offered to conduct himself and to assume the costs of copying the parts. Shortly before the premiere of Aida in Cairo in 1871, when the critic and composer Alberto Mazzucato reminded Verdi of the Liberame he had written for the Rossini Requiem, he dismissed the idea of setting the entire text. "There are so many, many, many Requiem Masses, there's no point in adding one more." But now, clearly, there was, and Verdi moved quickly. On June 25th, Verdi and Giuseppina left for Paris, where he began work on the Requiem. He continued writing at St. Agata in the fall and in Genoa that winter. On February 28th, he wrote to Camille Duloc, his librettist for Don Carlos, "I feel as if I've become a solid citizen and am no longer the public's clown who, with a big bass drum, shouts, 'Come, come, step right up.'" The deadline, May 22nd, the first anniversary of Manzoni's death, swiftly approached. Verdi handpicked his four soloists, including Teresa Stoltz and Maria Waldmann, the original Aida and Amneris at La Scala in 1872. The work was finished on April 10th. Rehearsals began early in May. Reading Manzoni's obituary notices, Verdi noticed that not one speaks the way it should. Many words, but none of them deeply felt. Verdi was a man of few words and genuine expression. The Requiem he composed to honor two men for whom he had the greatest admiration is a work of the most highly concentrated emotion. Seldom had he traversed the range of human feelings in so few pages. Music so direct and powerful was unexpected and therefore disquieting in a somber religious work. Bülow was only the first to refer patronizingly to the theatricality of a work designed for the church. The very beginning of this requiem might be mistaken for a moment from a Verdi opera, a dark cloister, a procession of mourners, a few strands of melody to set the scene. But the movement quickly grows and blossoms in ways unknown to the opera house. The chorus makes a fugue of Te Deset Hymnus, and then the music opens heavenward as the soloists enter one by one. It's music of an almost unimaginable sweep and grandeur, and would be out of place even in opera except in a grand finale. The Dies Irae, the largest of the seven pieces in this requiem, has 10 small sections, each one a vivid scene. In writing opera, Verdi had quickly learned to see the parola scenica, the key word in each passage that would unlock his imagination. The Dies Irae explodes with its sheer force and rage. The 4F thunderbolts of the bass drum are particularly alarming. Verdi increases the drama by adding offstage trumpets in the Tuba Mirum. We next hear from various individuals, each a commentator, an observer, or an eyewitness, what is known today as human interest. At the end of the bass's Mors Stupebit, sung quietly and full of terror, his voice catches repeatedly on the word death. Liber Scriptus, a powerful aria for mezzo-soprano, was written for the London premiere in 1875 to replace a choral fugue that marred Verdi's sense of pace and drama, particularly since a brief outburst of the Dies Irae music directly follows. Quid Sum Miser is a trio of lamentation. A solo bassoon provides a haunting accompaniment. Rex Tremendae is a dialogue between chorus and four soloists, reaching some common ground only in the final measures. The prayer, Recordare, is the duet Verdi conceived with the voices of his favorite Aida and Amneris in mind, though here they don't sing as adversaries. For a moment, at the words, Righteous Judge of Vengeance, their voices join as one. Two arias follow, the tenors Ingemisco and the basses Confutatis, before the chorus again interjects the refrain of Dies Irae. The lament Lacrimosa, based on a duet withdrawn from Don Carlos, brings together chorus and soloist in a magnificent, sobering conclusion to a movement that began with fire and fury. The final Amen momentarily lifts the music into full sunlight, but darkness quickly falls. Domine Jesu Christe is scored for solo quartet, though Verdi saves the soprano solo for a breathtaking moment well into the movement when the entire fate of the music hangs, seemingly forever, on her one sustained note. At Quam Olim Abrahe, the music gathers force, maintaining tradition, it behaves like a fugue. The central hostias is quiet and utterly still. Verdi's Sanctus is a brilliant double fugue for split chorus, moving quickly and with great energy straight through the Hosanna and Benedictus, texts that detain most composers. The Agnus Dei begins with 13 measures for the soprano and mezzo-soprano soloists, unaccompanied, singing in octaves. The melody is a 19th century version of plain chant. It's diatonic rather than modal, and it's repeated alternately by the two soloists and the chorus to an increasingly rich accompaniment. The soprano solo withdraws, leaving the three lower solo voices to the Lux Aeterna, a trio of urgent drama and death scene tremolos. The soprano now re-enters, unaccompanied, declaiming the text of the Liber Me. This powerful final scene for soprano and chorus is based on the music Verdi wrote for the Rossini Requiem in 1869. It could only have been composed by someone steeped in opera, yet it's unlike anything else in Verdi's output. The music moves freely from dramatic recitative to soaring arioso, reprising both the Dies Irae in all its concentrated terror and the opening Requiem Aeternam, here magically rescored for soprano and unaccompanied chorus. The last stretch, climaxed by the urgent pleas of the soprano and finally dissolving into hushed and desperate prayer, is as compelling as anything Verdi ever put on the stage. Program notes by Philip Huscher on Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem Mass. My name is Rich Caparella. Thanks for listening.